Tell me what the company does.
Well, we do an operating system for audio and video applications. And let me also try to clarify what we don't do. And let me take a comparison to help here. When you look at OS2 tried to be a replacement for Microsoft Windows. Better DOS than DOS, better Windows than Windows. And we know what happened. In spite of IBM's brains, marketing might, money, it didn't happen. Because Windows in the office automation marketplace is too entrenched. This is in the, if you figure an S-curve, this is the top of the S-curve, the sort of mature part of the marketplace. What we're trying to do is very different. We're trying to enter the marketplace at the knee of the S-curve. You have all these new media, audio and video media, coming out of the gestating part of the S-curve and entering the accelerating part, the sort of oblique, fast growth part of the S-curve. And we're trying to address the applications of these new media that complement what Windows do well. So in other words, we coexist with Windows on your Intel-based hard disk as a system which is focused on the creation of audio and video content for DV, satellite broadcasting, webcasting, editing your home movies, having your home or professional studio. In other words, someone could call us the poor man's Silicon Graphics, as one investor called us one day.
Literally, how would you get from a Windows into the B operating system? Are you switching contexts? Do you act like an application?
That's a very good question. If you have Linux, for instance, Linux comes with, which coexists nicely with Windows, does not try to replace Windows. You have a boot manager. So when you start your machine, you have a choice of operating systems you run, which is offered to you by this little program called the boot manager. So you boot, one of my machines boots into Windows 98 or Linux 5.1 or the BOS. So that's the choice you make.
And I presume that the B operating system is architected at the fundamental level in a different way than operating systems which are not aimed at audio and video. What is the fundamental difference?
There are two fundamental differences, and then many more when we percolate up towards the application programming interface, the API. At the fundamental level, we have a much better set of multi-threading atoms, you know, in the ways we allocate time, in the way we set priorities, so that, for instance, sound plays no matter what, because the human brain can tolerate video stutter but cannot tolerate audio stutter. So the basic constraints of the systems are there, and the way the multi-threading and the symmetric multiprocessing are connected together gives us a great advantage. You know, multiprocessing used to be something expensive. Now you can buy a dual processor motherboard at the store next door and build a full system, including monitor, for $2,500. And the way we scale up in multiprocessing is a great advantage of the BOS for these audio and video applications.
What is the primary language in which B applications are written?
C++. C++, we found out that it was a good compromise between what you wanted in object-oriented programming and what you wanted in performance, because performance is important in our kind of applications.
When you described the fundamental architectural advantages of the B operating system, I have to say I heard some echoes of Microsoft presentations on the advantage of the NT operating system. They call it a real-time operating system. They say that interrupts actually work in NT. Do you find yourself competing with that? And if not, what is your competition?
Yeah, very good question. I think you know, when you write a line of C++ code, you compete with Microsoft because they want to be everywhere. I also believe that no operating system is effectively an operating system of everything. I think Windows, whether Windows NT or Windows 98, really are the best general purpose operating systems in existence. They really are. Windows NT is very good at enterprise applications. Now the next version, Windows NT 5.0, which will come sometime in 99, Microsoft claims they have 40 million lines of source code. So it is an immensely powerful operating system. It is also a somewhat heavy operating system, and it is definitely not very good at audio and video applications, because this is not where its roots are. Its roots are the enterprise market, server applications. They do a very good job at some of these applications. I don't think, if you ask people what they think of Windows NT in video applications, that they do a good job there.
By way of comparison, how large is the B operating system?
750,000 lines of code. So, there's a more than a factor of 10. Some people say 50 between the size of the operating system. Some of that is due to the fact that we don't have as much coverage as Windows NT has. And it might be a good thing, because we get to focus and execute, and the system exacts less of a tax on the hardware. We don't have all these many layers of software silt addressing backwards compatibility. And, on the one hand, we don't have this huge portfolio of applications, which is a bad thing in some ways. On the other hand, by not having that, we can address the newer technology coming out of labs in Japan and in the U.S. in a much better fashion.
One of the, tired hand. One of the advantages that Windows has that has helped it crush some other competitors is the vast scale of its hardware compatibility. It's really hard to find a piece of hardware without a Windows driver. What's your driver situation?
Well, this is certainly a challenge for us, and the thing to do here is for us to focus on what these audio and video inclined customers would like in terms of hardware. They may not want to be backwards compatible with an older Hercules video card, for instance, or a 4 ATM networking card, but they want fast Ethernet, for instance, in networking, and we have that. And they want good performance on IDE drives, and we have that. And they want a number of selected video cards, and we have that. But we will never have the coverage that Windows has, because we are not a general purpose operating system. The duality here is not general purpose system against general purpose system. If we try to do that, we would die the same death as OS2 did. The duality here is us being a special purpose operating system with a narrower coverage, complementing a wide range of applications covered by Windows.
Are you flexible on the subject of drivers? Do you write drivers here? If someone comes to you and says, I'll buy the B operating system if you can make it run the Xan, I'm trying to think of the one I use. Are you flexible on the subject of drivers? If a customer comes to you and says, I'll buy the B operating system if you'll make a hardware driver for my hardware, do you do that?
We would do that. We have done that. This is a case-by-case situation. Sometimes we work with the hardware manufacturer. Next week there will be a manufacturer of PCs who will come to Menlo Park here and get training on driver writing, because they want to write their own drivers for the BOS. So it's a case by case. But yes, we would be flexible. A small company such as ourselves can win if and only if we are flexible.
Spoken like a true mathematician. I don't hear if and only if very often. The a last question about drivers. Do you have a driver development kit? Do you believe and do you hear from your hardware partners that development of B drivers is a straightforward process. Perhaps that's another advantage the operating system has.
Yes, we have a driver development kit, and writing drivers is definitely less complicated because our system is less complicated. So the smaller operating system puts a lower onus on the driver developer.
How are you defining success for B? What would it take for you to say this company is a success? Do you believe it is a success now?
No, it's not a success now. We still have much to prove and much to do. Frankly, I don't believe in claiming success. I think people will define success for us. We have three basic constituencies: shareholders, software developers, and customers, and a fourth one, which may or may not be at the same level, which is the OEM partners. But these people will decide whether or not we are successful. And ultimately, maybe you'll call me a born again capitalist coming from a statist culture in my country of birth. But ultimately, success is evaluated by the shareholder.
I'd like to ask you about your near brush with Apple. What happened in almost selling B to Apple from your perspective? We've seen a lot of other people's perspectives. I mean, we've certainly heard what Gil Amelio thought.
Well, it was a very straightforward thing. Initially, Apple contacted us in June of 1996, and we started talking and talking and talking, and we are focused on the on Apple's heritage, which is the multimedia space, where we thought, everybody thought the BOS had something to contribute, and we were demonstrating the first versions of the BOS running on Power Macs, and people had a shock when we went to Boston in August of 96. We were showing, 1 minute we were showing the Mac OS, and the next minute we were showing the BOS running on the same Mac hardware. In the past, people thought that the performance they saw was due to some mysterious hardware component, because we had the B-box with a dual processor machine. But once we removed the hardware variable, people saw it's the software. So the software was deemed attractive for the multimedia space. Then Gil Amelio and Alan Hancock thought that Next could give Apple an entry into the enterprise market, an enterprise market which had stubbornly remained reticent to Apple. And they thought that Next Step and Next, with its franchise in some large corporations, could give them a key to that. So, to me, it was a calculus of building on an existing franchise or adding, a large market to Apple's portfolio. So that's how they made their choice. And I think. There is some logic to that argument, and I believe that the customer is always right. So I'm not about to argue with that. What then transpired is that that decision did not play out as expected. Apple still has no intention of trying the enterprise market, because Steve Jobs got into the game, removed the previous management, and refocused Apple on its existing franchise in education and the creative people. And as sort of politely, who bought this? it was quite. On the one hand, it's quite comical. On the other hand, when you look at Apple stock, I think Steve has done wonders for Apple that we wouldn't have done. And when you look at the effect on the on the marketplace, it's very good to have a lively Apple, healthy, attractive Apple, as opposed to a sort of monochromatic Microsoft-dominated marketplace. So I think that was in unexpected ways a very good decision for Apple. as far as we're concerned, we turn around, we had already done some work on the Intel version of, because we did market research, and we the prestigious market research firm came back with an unexpected result. There were more Pentiums than Power PCs in the market, and so we did a version of our portable operating system for that was reasonably easy to move to Intel. And we found out that the Intel space is much more agnostic, ecumenical than the Power PC space. People welcomed us with open arms. We went to our first PC Expo. We raised money in the spring. We raised $27 million to give us the sort of war chest to pave the runway, if I can mix metaphors. And so we are off to be a focused operating system, a dedicated AV, dedicated OS in the Intel space.
Some of the commentary I read at the time of the B Apple deal suggested that it foundered on an overvaluation on your part. Is that a fair assessment? You offered a different explanation.
Well, I'm not about to argue with a journalist about media perception. I heard the same comments, and the fact of the matter is that we're talking, in the last stage of the deal, we were sort of focusing around the $200 million space, and the next deal was done at 400 and some. So I think the facts, again, I know we should not, cloud the issue with facts, but I think the facts of the matter are that some people thought our price was excessive. But this is not what ultimately transpired. I think we've seen that Apple put a high value on having a new generation operating system.
By the way, are you optimistic about the future of Apple?
Well, I think yes. Contrary to many people, I am. I believe. The naysayers who criticize Steve Jobs are being proved wrong.